You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Now, you may be wondering why we're playing the Buggles Video Kill the Radio Star, which is a terrible song, but was the very first video played on MTV 44 years ago today.
That's right.
MTV launched 44 years ago today.
And then we got a few years of actual music television.
We got about 15 to 20.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it became a reality TV show.
That was it.
My entire life, it was 16 and Pregnant, Ridiculousness. And if you stayed up until about 3 a.m., you'd see maybe 2 hours of music videos. Yep. That was it.
First ever video was The Buggles, Video Killed the Radio Star. Would anybody care to guess any of the other songs that followed it? Because that is what that band is famous for. Because that song sucks.
Was it like a Blondie song?
It was not a Blondie song. No.
Was Michael Jackson in there yet?
Michael Jackson wasn't even in the top 50 songs first played.
Wow.
There were two Iron Maiden videos that made the top 50. Two Rod Stewart songs that made the top 50. Michael Jackson never even made it, even though he had the album Off the Wall 2 years prior. Song number two was You Better Run by Pat Benatar.
Okay.
Song number three was She Won't Dance With Me by Rod Stewart. Song number four is You Better You Bet by The Who. Song number five, Little Susie's on the Up by PhD.
We hadn't really found our way into the 80s at that point, solidly, the way that we remember them.
Songs that you would actually recognize are Take It on the Run by REO Speedwagon, number nine.
Okay.
Hold On Loosely by 38 Special, 13.
Great song.
Sailing by Rod Stewart, 15.
So that would have been 81, right?
It would have been 81, that's
right.
And so,
yeah, the 80s weren't really in full swing until probably 84, 85. We always think about 80s genre of music, 90s genre of music, as if it were confined to that particular decade, but it's really not. It took a couple of years to get up and going, and then it kind of lagged into the 90s a little bit. Same thing with 90s grunge, lagged into the aughts.
Anyway, I can remember sitting around watching MTV on a loop with my friends at Fort Hood, just waiting for the next video. And remember when Thriller came out?
Oh, yeah. It changed the way... It made superstars of certain artists overnight that I think without video otherwise might not have been.
Give me an example.
Any of them that looked good and sounded marginal.
I can give you two. Motley Crue and Poison.
Oh, easily.
Poison for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, God love Poison. I've seen them probably a dozen times. They were a rite of passage every summer. But you want to talk about a talentless band.
But they looked good.
But they looked really good.
All that big frizzy hair.
Yep. And Motley Crue definitely benefited from MTV.
All right. I'm not even waiting until 3 o'clock to get into the ZZ Top reject-looking nutbag that, thank God, they caught around 3 o'clock this morning after he is alleged to have stabbed an employee at Hayward's Barbecue. And according to social media reports, it's actually the owner's son.
Who was stabbed,
who is expected to be okay.
Good.
Seriously injured, obviously, but expected to be okay. Wait until you hear about this nut's history. So everyone's reporting this, but this is from Channel 9. The suspect in the stabbing at the Shawnee Barbecue restaurant is in custody after a suspicious person call Friday morning. And I will just tell you that if you saw this man roaming around, on his face, you would have thought he was suspicious. Okay? Police say that they were called to investigate reports of, quote, a suspicious person at 2:54 a.m. at 79th and Quivira. Four blocks away from the stabbing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was doing the beg for money thing and then yelled at some lady, and that's why she called 911.
Yep, 3 a.m. She calls police, and she's like, some weirdo with long black hair and a beard yelled at me at this intersection. So Shawnee police, Lenexa police, like, they knew what this guy looked like. They go there, and of course he matches the description of the guy who stabbed this poor kid at Hayward's. So he's in custody. He... You know, I think first hearing is here in a couple days. But then if you follow the Haywood's Barbecue folks, they start posting photos of this same long, scraggly, black-haired nut a year ago. Why, you ask?
Why?
He was previously charged with first-degree assault, armed criminal action, and unlawful use of a weapon in another case we covered heavily on this very program. The incident at the Plaza St. Luke's in 2024, where he tried to shoot a security guard. He tries, you remember the story, you guys, he tries to go in to a restricted area of the hospital, panic alarms are tripped, security goes over toward the cafe, and when they get there, an employee says, look, this guy assaulted me. They get to Valdez, there's a scuffle. Valdez pulls out a gun, aims it at the security officers inside of St. Luke's Plaza. The gun goes off during an arrest, right? A few minutes later, when they finally got him into handcuffs, the officer on scene noted him uttering, I was going to kill all three of you. Yet he was allowed to post a $7,500 bond last October.
For that?
Yes, he was allowed to post a bond for firing a gun at security inside of St. Luke's.
Totally reasonable.
He was scheduled to go to trial, by the way, in October on the St. Luke stuff. After the alleged stabbing at the barbecue joint yesterday, a bond violation report has been filed.
Well, thank God.
You think?
Is there a reason why he walked into Haywood's and stabbed the owner's son?
Have you seen him? He's crazy.
Well, I understand that, but was there any connection between the two of them?
No.
A relationship of some capacity?
None known. In fact,
he just walked into a barbecue.
Yes. In fact, another witness says as he leaves, she thinks she then served him a couple of doors down at a different restaurant. He stabs a guy, strolls down to another restaurant.
Grabs a bite to eat.
Sorry, could I see your menu?
We do not know yet what led up to the stabbing. So that may lean into motive a little bit. But as of right now, we have no idea what the motive is.
The question becomes, what does one have to do to be jailed prior to trial on shooting at a security guard? Shot was fired inside of a hospital.
You know what they'll tell you, though? In Jackson County, they don't have the jail space.
I was going to say, to be jailed that long, you got to do it in Platt.
No, you know what Sam said off the air, and I'm going to repeat it because you're absolutely right. He said no one died.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
It's the horrible aim, I fired and missed rule, where somehow we view these idiots as less dangerous because no one died. That's a one in a trillion shot that no one died.
But Dana,
someone happened to not die.
To Sam's point, with the lack of jail space in Jackson County, who do you want held?
Him.
No. The guy who killed somebody in a drive-by shooting, somebody who's murdered two people in a drug dispute, or a guy who shot at somebody but didn't hit. You want them, not him.
But the fact that we were somehow leaving it up to the chance that that bullet hits someone is ridiculous. It is just as likely to not hit someone as it is to hit someone.
But you're missing my point. Do you keep in jail indefinitely until trial people who successfully, sadly, hit somebody with a bullet or somebody who missed?
We don't have problems incarcerating people right now who are stolen from their place of employment.
You really want to go down that road?
You really want to tell me we can't find space for someone who shot a gun inside of a hospital and a security guard?
You can.
I don't buy it.
In Sedalia and in Nixa and all these other small towns where we have to send a sheriff's deputy 500 miles to go pick them up and bring them back for a court hearing.
I'm not saying if you saw this man, you would just automatically assume that he's homicidal. But if you saw this man,
it's pretty close.
You would automatically assume, yeah, he's homicidal.
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Go to Q39KC.com. Story here from the USA Today. Do you find yourself daydreaming during office meetings or maybe during a radio show in the afternoon?
All the time.
Dana Wright.
Specifically, 2 to 6.
Do you feel a constant urge to click or scroll?
Yes.
Can't stay still during a conversation?
No.
Yes. Cannot.
You may need attention span rehab.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Los Angeles-based artist Lizzie Phoenix is going viral on TikTok for her calming drawing series where she guides viewers through. You're actually writing that down.
Attention. Yeah.
Lizzie, L-I-Z-I.
Okay.
Phoenix, common spelling.
Got you.
Soothing art exercises is a means of boosting your attention span. On a platform dominated by quick hit content, Phoenix's videos, which are sometimes upwards of 8 minutes, break the mold and are helping viewers end the cycle of doom scrolling.
I told you when we started doing the paint by numbers, there was something about that that just worked for me. Unlike my eyesight, I needed a magnifying glass.
How many paint by numbers paints have you made?
My favorite of all time is my father at a golf course where we were down in Biloxi. You've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
my God,
nice.
It looks just like my dad. It's so, I just love it because the second you see it, you're like, yep, that's my dad.
It's a silhouette.
A 3.
And then when we got down to Hilton Head, when I came back, I had a new one made, but we're waiting for the wintertime. To me, it's more of a wintertime thing to do or rainy fall day kind of thing to do.
So you've made one.
I've made one. I started another one I didn't finish. And then we're going to complete the Hilton Head one this fall. It's very calming and very focusing because you have to focus in on the little numbers with the little colors and the little numbers.
So you're the one on the show who started this trend.
Yeah.
You've made one.
How many have you done?
5.
You're at 5?
Yes.
Wow. You know what else I've heard?
And I still have another one to do.
Knitting and crocheting are making a huge comeback. You know this, Scott. Your mom taught your daughter. And then my daughter the other day, we were at Walmart and she goes, can we go look at knitting needles? And I go, oh my gosh, everyone is knitting. It's the same thing. It makes you put down something like your phone or the TV or the news cycle, and you have to focus in on a specific task. It's why knitting is making a comeback.
So I did the one of you, me, and Sam at my house with our feet up with
the booties on.
The booties on.
Great picture.
One of me and T at a KU basketball game. Maya leaning up against an English or an England telephone booth in London.
Are they all big? Did you do like huge?
No, they're like.
Well, that's pretty big.
3x3, you know. The one of Maya leaning up against the phone booth in London, I actually had framed and matted. She has that in her bedroom at college.
Oh, I love it.
Hanging on the wall.
Well, there is chatter that we've always talked about the movie theater industry is dying.
It's not
especially dying. Especially since 2020.
It's not dying.
Well, there is chatter that the younger generations cannot sit through an entire movie. And I'm not kidding.
Then explain why all these Marvel movies are making $122 million in one
because
week.
Because things are exploding.
35-year-old nerds are showing up to watch it.
Fair point. Fair point. We did a painting of Stonehenge that I'm going to give to Sarah.
I love that one.
I haven't framed that one yet. And there's one more. I can't remember what it is. It might be of Stella. I can't recall. But no, we've done 5. And we've got one more ready to go. It's you'll love this. It was the night you threw out the first pitch. And I caught your first pitch. I stand up. I put my hands in the air with the glove and the ball in the glove. And Slugger is behind me going, you're out.
You are going to paint that or you did paint that?
We're going to.
Well, I want that one.
That's the next one.
I want that to be my Christmas present.
All right. Then it will be.
Good. Thank you.
Do I have to get it framed and matted? Because now it gets really expensive.
Oh, I will frame and mat it. That was so much fun.
That was fun. Attention span is like anything else. It can be trained, and it has to be maintained.
Which, by the way, speaking of first pitches, Bill Glass, Dr. Rick.
August 31st.
We have no attention span on this show.
Believe
Sunday,
it.
Sunday, August 31st. You better believe it. He's going to be here. Can't wait. Lizzie Phoenix, and you can watch attention rehab videos.
Attention-based rehab. Trying to make me go to rehab.
I said no. CBSNews.com. Something in the Stars has drawn CBS News to Daniel Polger, an astrological counselor in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Astrology apparently has become a $3 billion online industry in the United States.
How?
I don't know. In a stressful world, astrology now feels bigger than ever. In the U.S., it is an online industry worth an estimated $3 billion. It is expected to triple over the next 5 years to $9 billion a year. Astrology. Not astronomy. Astrology. Pisces, Gemini, Cancer.
Oh, that's why it's a billion-dollar industry. Do they still post the horoscope in the Kansas City Star?
I'm sure they do.
The daily horoscope?
I can't remember the last time I picked up a star. I'm sorry.
Well, the physical paper, I understand what you're saying. Like, you know, if you pick up like a USA Today or a New York Post or a Kansas City Star, the astrology things would all be different.
Do you guys buy into this stuff?
I think there are rhythms to the universe. I really do.
I buy into it. I don't buy into the way we do it.
Explain.
In a newspaper.
There's actually 13 signs, not 12.
What's the one that we're missing?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look into it. But
I do believe there are rhythms to life and rhythms to the universe. Yes. I don't believe the way that people
and the month that you're born
are monetizing it through various channels. Although, I'm telling you, you know, every once in a while I'm in downtown Lawrence and they've got that tarot card reader there. I've always kind of wanted to walk in. Just walk in, not say a word. Like, don't do it here in Kansas City where someone might say, I recognize your voice, like, whatever. Not say a word. If I did it here, they'd be like, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of dead birds.
Okay, so you are an Aries.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What is your color?
I'm white.
Not your skin color.
Oh.
Oh.
Aries doesn't have a color. I mean, it's probably red.
It is red.
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
Because anyone who's an Aries is like me. We're all...
psycho.
Well done.
No, we're all dominant personalities. You know that.
Okay, what is your day of the week?
Well, it wouldn't be Monday. Probably Friday.
Tuesday.
Okay.
What are your lucky numbers?
3.
Nope.
7.
No.
9.
No.
5?
No.
I have no
six,
idea.
666.
666. 1, 8, and 17. Your strengths. You're courageous.
Yes.
You're determined.
Yes.
You're confident.
Yes.
You're enthusiastic.
Yes.
You're honest.
Yes. Yes.
How many glasses of wine did you have last night? 1.
I did have 1 last night.
All right, 4.
Before dinner.
I'm eventually honest.
And you're passionate.
Yes.
Here are your weaknesses.
Don't you believe all those things, Scott? Like, if you look at an Aries, they're mostly Dana personality types. We really are.
Your weaknesses, you're impatient.
1,000%.
Moody.
Yes.
Short-tempered.
Yes.
Impulsive.
Very.
Well, this is actually kind of...
I told you.
All right, hang on. Let's do me. And you tell me if you agree with this
stuff.
Are you
a Cancer or a Gemini?
No, I'm a Gemini.
You're a Gemini.
Yeah. And none of those numbers are my lucky numbers.
Okay.
My strengths, I'm gentle.
Okay.
I didn't hear a yes there.
Yes.
I'm affectionate.
Okay.
I didn't hear a yes again. I'm curious. I'm adaptable.
Yeah.
And able to learn quickly.
Adaptable.
100%.
My weaknesses, I'm nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
Huh. Inconsistent?
No, I don't agree with that.
No, not at all.
Very consistent.
Indecisive.
Mm.
Huh. See, this is why this is garbage. Gemini dislikes being alone. I have no problem being alone.
You hate... Oh my gosh, you did not just say that you cannot be alone. I'm saying I can't be alone either. I'm not judging. I'm just saying spot on.
Here's another dislike for a Gemini. Repetition and routine. My day has to be the same every day or I am off kilter.
That's why I said you're not very adaptable, because if you throw in a 5-minute meeting in your morning, the rest of your day is thrown off, even if you didn't have anything planned for that 5 minutes.
I agree with you.
I can pencil it in, but it's going to throw everything else off.
What are you, Sam?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh,
and I am
God.
Stubborn.
Yeah, Taurus is also stubborn.
What's your color?
Blue.
Green and pink, nerd.
Oh, really?
Green and pink.
Strengths. Reliable?
Yes.
I would agree with that. Patient? Negative.
What?
I think Sam's very patient.
I work with both of you.
He manages us.
Practical?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Devoted?
Yes.
Responsible?
Very.
Stable?
Very.
Weaknesses? Stubborn?
Yeah.
And possessive?
Ooh.
Also yes.
Okay. This is why this is a multi-billion-dollar industry, because isn't it fascinating when you read about yourself and you see there's a rhythm to the universe, Scott. I don't know whether I don't like naming it.
Half of the things I just read off about me on Gemini were wrong.
But Aries is 100% I am an Aries.
They're also very vague intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people do half of those things fit with? A lot.
Do you like synthetic fabric?
No, I hate it.
That is one of your dislikes.
Wait a minute.
Synthetic fabrics. It's right there.
Well, now we're just making stuff up. Okay, well, I like very high thread count sheets. Is that an Aries thing?
You're not an Aries.
Yes, I am.
She's the Aries. I'm the Taurus.
Oh, sorry.
Can you Gemini yourself to break?
913-586-7798. Very funny. From the text line, Scott, if you're okay being alone, what is the longest period of time between relationships in your adult life? I move on quickly. That is true. I do move on quickly.
Put on blast. Dang.
Megan in Kansas City. Megan, good afternoon. Hello.
Hi. I'm actually glad you just read that text, because what I'm about to say is the nicest thing that, like, in the nicest way I can say it.
Mm.
First, I'm an April Aries. I have told my husband for a few years that Dana reminds me a lot of myself, and I think hers was spot on. Second, I think one of the words you guys used for Sam was patient, and you did not agree with that, but I do agree with that. The way he handles the show with you guys and your guests and all the things you guys have going on, I think Sam is an extremely patient man.
Here comes the insult.
I'm sorry?
I said, here comes the insult for Scott.
Yes. What I was going to say, Scott, is I've listened to you for 7 or 8 years now. You've talked about your ex-wife, the girl's his mom, but then I listened to your engagement and all of the shebang with that relationship, and I move away, I get back into your radio show, and now you've got a mystery girlfriend, and I feel like there was just a gap of time that I missed, but the does alone time well, I did not think that suited you based off what I know from your show.
Okay. By the way, that was a gap of time in my life as well.
Well, that's all I wanted to say, but thank you guys. I thought it was hilarious, and for the most part, I agree. But yep. With those couple things, I just wanted to point out.
Okay. When I say I can be alone, I like being in relationships.
Yes.
And I can quickly... When a relationship ends, it's very easy for me to just let you go, goodbye, and I'm moving on. When I say I can be alone, T leaves for work at 6:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I don't leave for the office until a little afternoon.
You can find something to do to fill your 4 or 5 hours where you have to come in.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
That's easy.
So Sam brought us back with Lean On Me for a very specific reason. Never in a million years did I think something as simple as a bench would create such controversy in our town, but here we are. I had never even heard of a leaning bench.
Nor had I.
But apparently we now have them.
Okay.
People are mad.
Story here from Channel 5. New leaning benches at some Kansas City bus stops have stirred mixed reaction from riders. The benches are now in place at locations including 12th and Grand, 11th and Grand, the East Village Transit Center. The KCATA says the new design is part of a broader effort to reduce loitering and improve safety around transit stops. They cost about $330 a piece. They are also more cost-effective than traditional benches.
I'm going to stop you right there. I have never heard of this. We need to describe this. It's not a bench. So stop. They call it a leaning bench. It is not a bench. It's
about 3 feet tall, and rather than having a surface that is parallel to the ground for you to sit on, it's at about a 45-degree angle. It's 3 or 4 slats deep. It's just enough for you to lean your butt up against.
You can lean your butt on it.
Take a little bit of pressure off the legs.
There is no bench about this thing, no. Other than it's got 2 legs. The seat, if you will, of the bench is, to Sam's point, flipped.
It's at a 45-degree
almost
angle.
Vertically. And so you can just kind of, you know, you just kind of lean up against it.
So when I saw the picture of this on Channel 5's website today, I thought, oh, this is the city trying to encourage, you know, you burn more calories standing than you do sitting. And I thought, well, this is the city's way of trying to make us all a little bit healthier. Sam, what's the real reason?
So this was a big controversy in Southern California. I've talked about my time in Southern California a lot. And in the summers that I was going out there, I watched all of the bus stations change from standard benches, because I would take the bus and the train to get around, standard benches to these standing benches. And in between that shift, they also added handrails to the middle of the bench. They would put like random spots where the bench was higher and lower. And I always thought, this is super weird. Why are they adding this extra cost to these benches?
Yeah, they don't want you sleeping on it.
And then I looked into it. It's to keep homeless people from sleeping on the bench.
Somebody
so when
says
they say loitering,
it's hostile architecture.
When they say loitering, they're talking about people sleeping on the bench overnight. There's a bus stop that was next to my old apartment where two dudes would just sit and drink for like 5 hours. The bus would stop and they wouldn't get on.
So they
would just sit there and
keep
drinking.
The traditional benches were removed at the request of the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. Now,
why?
For
because
exactly
people are sleeping on?
What Sam just said.
And what locations did they switch first?
11th and Grand and 12th and Grand.
KCUR right did a story about this, and they interviewed a guy named Michael Sterling who is disabled. And, you know, so if you think about anyone with a disability or a mother with a toddler, you know, can you picture just the bag of groceries in your right hand and maybe a 1 or a 2-year-old in your left hand? It really is not great for those folks to somehow stop the other behavior for people that are sitting there 5 hours and drinking.
I understand, but why couldn't you create several one-seat benches?
Well, so one of the things they did in Southern California was they put a handrail down the middle of the bench. And one time I sat and watched a homeless guy, you know, I was just down at the beach hanging out. I watched a homeless guy break that handrail off. It took a long time. But he won.
But he got it.
He won that fight, and he slept on that bench that night.
Okay, but back to my point. If the whole point is to keep people from loitering, which means homeless people sleeping on them, why not just do like 5 one-seat benches about a foot apart each?
Cost. This is 2 poles and a slat. That's it.
Yeah, but are you going to have just one? Are you going to have 4?
They have just one. So if you're leaning on this, your butt's leaning on this, the woman next to you's butt's leaning on it, the person next to her's butt's leaning on it. What would you say? 4 people could fit, Sam? Tops.
Probably, yeah.
Tops.
Comfortably.
In an announcement posted to social media, KCATA called the leaning benches, quote, a new rider amenity.
Okay.
They are easy to maintain, cost effective, and, quote, built for accessibility.
But why can't they tell you the real reason? We have, quote, we have a lot of people that feel really comfortable at our bus stops. We want to create an environment that's comfortable for all people who are trying to use the transit system.
Yeah, a lot of people feel really comfortable just sitting there for 9 hours.
Why not just tell us the truth? The reason we're putting up these leaning benches is because we don't want homeless people sleeping on the benches.
The best term is hostile architecture. It truly is.
913-586-7798. Some people are not happy.
You know what it looks like? It looks like the music stand that we all used in junior high school when you were learning how to play the flute.
Yeah, but longer. Yes.
But longer. It is a longer version of the black music stand that we all had as kids.
They can't be honest about the reason because that would drive the controversy.
Says one person, we need seats. We can't lean. Okay. 913-586-7798. Ghislaine Maxwell's been moved.
Why would you do this to me on
Friday?
We're
going to talk about it because it's a big news story. Ghislaine Maxwell has been moved from a federal prison in Florida to a federal prison camp in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for the move was not made clear.
Lowering the security level. Interesting. Yep.
She gets more free time. More time outside.
Mm-hmm. More time outside. I wonder if other people would have access to her.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
She has been subpoenaed.
Speaking of access, did you see that Brian Koberger has been put in solitary confinement?
Yep.
I assume for his own safety.
That is correct.
All I'm going to say about that.
You're disappointed?
Well, Scott, during the break, he goes, good. And I go, why? And that's terrible. We should not wish horrible things
like
to happen
guy,
to anyone.
We can wish some pretty horrible things.
Why is it that when somebody does something horrible,
we
can say on the radio, well, I hope they burn in hell.
Right.
Okay.
Which I've written about him.
Right. But when somebody ends up in solitary confinement and there's no access to other inmates to them, we feel a bit of trepidation or
because there's a fine line
containment
between
in what we can say.
Wanting harm to come to someone, okay? That's A.
I want Johnny Robinson to be executed.
Okay. And then on the other hand, if something would happen to someone, .. you just shrug it off and you don't care. There's a real fine line there, right? And I don't know that one is better than the other, but I think as humans, we're more comfortable with, well, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer died in prison. Okay.
Painfully, too.
What would you like for dinner tonight? Like, you can just shrug it off.
Yeah.
That's still a little bit different than actively hoping someone harms someone.
I mean, morally, we shouldn't.
Morally, we should not. That's right, Sam.
Get harmed.
One of them is after the fact, and one of them is prior, and I think we all feel a little more comfortable with the after the fact going, sorry.
But let me interrupt if I can, then please chime in. There are times, and I consider myself to be a man of faith. I believe in God, and I try to do right. I try to, keep my thoughts as clean as possible, but sometimes I struggle. There is a certain level of bloodlust that I find acceptable when it comes to people like a Brian Koberger, when it comes to people like a Ghislaine Maxwell. And we watched a Netflix documentary about her last night called Ghislaine Maxwell, Filthy Rich. And she was worse, according to this documentarian.
Oh, she was worse than he was.
She was worse than he was.
Yes.
Yes.
I think a lot of the young women would say that.
And they did. And this documentary, Ghislaine Maxwell, Filthy Rich, dives deep into what a monster this woman is. She will be pardoned.
And now she's at some Club Med
in Texas.
Texas.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is a cautious run, do not walk. If you haven't seen the Filthy Rich series, is fantastic. It's gruesome, but it's fantastic.
It can be. It can be a little tough to watch. But when you watch the one about Ghislaine Maxwell, even the remote thought that she might be pardoned makes you sick to your stomach. She is an evil, devilish, horrible human being. Sam, I interrupted your thought. I beg your pardon. Okay. So anyway, she's been moved to a federal prison camp in Bryan, Texas. And they said that she was already in a low security prison in Tallahassee for men and women. The prison camp in Bryan, Texas is a minimum security camp only for women. The move follows Maxwell's two-day meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche in Tallahassee.
Which you would have to assume that the move has something to do with those conversations.
Yes, of course you would.
It's pretty hard not to.
This is step one towards her pardon. And this country is going to lose its collective mind if this, I almost said a bad word.
She is an evil,
if this evil monster is ever released from prison.
Well, what do you say to the victims? The survivors?
You know, that's the funny thing. Nobody in the Department of Justice ever mentions the victims.
Is asking them.
Have you ever noticed that? They never mention the victims. Now that you've done chewing, Sam, what was your thought?
Just with regard to the morality of not wishing harm on others, the counter argument is always they didn't consider morality when they committed those crimes.
Amen.
For example, Brian Koberger didn't have a whole lot of morality as he drove by that house 23 times and the 24th time decided to go in and stab four people. Jelaine Maxwell obviously didn't have an ounce of morality her entire life because she was willing to do what she did for Jeffrey Epstein, for herself.
For herself, that's exactly right. And when she, how do I use this properly, the word, when she recruited Virginia Giuffre,
yes.
It was her. It was not Jeffrey Epstein.
It was always her.
Yes, it was not Jeffrey Epstein.
That's why some of those survivors have said she was worse because we trusted her and she knew it.
Jelaine Maxwell went to the spa at Mar-a-Lago and bumped into Virginia Giuffre and recruited her. It was not Epstein who stole her away from Mar-a-Lago. It was Jelaine Maxwell.
Well, in the Filthy Rich docuseries, the victims talk about how they rejected the entire situation, and it was Jelaine who came in and comforted them and said, no, it's fine. You're fine. Everything's fine.
And they meet these men who are powerful, who are rich, who are famous, and, you know, you're 16 years old. And here's this life, you know, that you can't even imagine. You're intimidated, you're pressured, you're promised, and you end up becoming a victim. But I'm telling you right now, if she's not pardoned within the next three and a half years, I'll be shocked. Shocked.
Alleged Shawnee stabber has officially been charged.
With?
Well, let's not let him out this time, shall we?
Attempted first-degree murder. I don't think he's getting out on that one.
Good. Do we have a bond?
You know who I would like to talk to? I would like to talk to the security officer down at St. Luke's Plaza who was almost shot and killed because this same nut fired a gun inside of a hospital and then was allowed to post $7,500 in bond and walk out to only turn around and stab a Hayward's Barbecue employee.
The update from Fox 4 does not include a bond.
Okay. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. And we have Festivus Friday coming your way in 2 hours. It is brought to you by Q39, serving championship barbecue pit to plate. Here's our web address. It's Q39KC.com. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. News coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.